Okay, we're going to start at the Mishnah on Lamechet Amabet. Hamudar han amechavero v'nechnas lebakro. Okay, let's say you... Okay, now here we're going to see that the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to be unclear on who is mudar hana'a from who. Okay, who's forbidden to who here? But there's two people. There's a sick person, and there's the person who's visiting the sick person. And what's good about this is from here we're going to get into all sorts of statements about the mitzvah of bikur cholim, how important it is, etc. So, the Mishnah says, if you're mudar hana'a from someone, and you go in to visit them, okay, which sounds kind of like you're going to visit the sick person, right? Who you're mudar hana'a from the sick person. But we'll see soon whether that's the case or not. We're going to see both interpretations, both directions, the two different, you know, different ways of understanding which way the Mishnah is talking about. But in any case, there's a sick person, there's a visitor, and someone is forbidden to get hana'a from the other. So now, what does it say? You can go to visit him. You're allowed to visit this sick person. Omed avalo yoshev. But you can only do it standing. Okay, you can't sit down. Now, the obvious difference between standing and sitting down is, what do you think?
Comfort level,
which means what?
How long you're going to stay.
Right? That's what it seems to be. You'll stay much longer if you're going to sit. Whereas if you're standing, we all know this. How many times do you get into the situation where you're talking to someone and you think maybe we'll sit down, but you know that if you sit down, you won't get out of there quickly, so you just stay standing because you know it'll... So that seems to be the difference, unless someone else has a different suggestion between sitting and standing. Any thoughts?
I don't know. Sitting is hana'a and standing maybe.
Why is it hana'a? It's because
you're more comfortable
when you're sitting.
Yeah.
You're more relaxed. Okay. It could be you're actually using the person's chair as opposed to just using the airspace in their house. In other words, if you're talking about the cholez house and getting benefit, maybe I was sleeping with my daughter last night and that's how she read it, that you're using his chair. As opposed to standing, you're not using the chair. The Gemara doesn't suggest that, but it's a suggestion. Okay, so we're going to see that the main difference the Gemara seems to think is it's an issue of timing, possibly. You know, how long you're going to stay, how significant your visit is. Right? It's a less significant visit if you visit someone and you're just standing up. You know, once you sit down also, we'll see also another, that it's more like you're having a companionship, like a real relationship, where you're standing, you're on your way out the door. So, you can go in standing up, but you can't sit down. Umirapo refuat ha-nefesh avalo refuat mamon. Okay, what this means, we don't know exactly yet. Okay? You can be mirapay him refuat nefesh, but you can't pay him. You know, it seems like you can help him get better by giving him chizuk or something, but you can't give him money to help him get better. So it sounds like. But we don't know yet exactly what this means. Okay, the Gemara starts like this, and the Gemara asks the basic question: "B'mayas kinan? What's the case? Is it that the chole can't benefit from the visitor? Okay, so if that's the case, so the sick person can't benefit from the mevaker, from the visitor. Then afilu yoshev nami. Then if you're allowed to stand." What's the issue here? If the sick person can't benefit from the visitor, then the assumption here is that if he's allowed to come ba'amida, right, then he should be allowed to come b'yeshiva. What's the assumption? That the mitzvah of bikur cholim is not considered hana'a. When you're in a... It's interesting the way the Ran explains it. I think it's the Ran, right? Look in the Ran. De'omeid my time asharitle. Why is it okay if you're standing? Mishum de'mevaker mitzvah de'nafshe avid. Why are you going to visit someone? Because you want to get the mitzvah. Okay? Unihi dechol mitane, and the fact that the chole is getting hana'a, that's only mimela. You understand? The main point of you visiting is really to get the mitzvah. It's such a strange perspective, right? Because you think the real reason you're visiting is to make the sick person feel better. But what they're saying is, no, you're doing it because there's a mitzvah upon you. Now, if there's a mitzvah upon you, that means, because the whole question is there hana'a or not hana'a? Now, this might seem strange, but it could be they're also explaining it this way because they're trying to explain the Mishnah. As they want to understand why the Mishnah thinks there's an issue here. So they say, but only a partial issue, right? That's the problem here. If it was an issue that the chole was benefiting by getting a visitor, well, then it should be usher whether he's standing or whether he's sitting. And that's why it doesn't make any sense. So that's why they're going to say, if that's the case, right? That we're worried about the chole benefiting from the mevaker, and clearly there's no issue because the mevaker is doing a mitzvah, and that's not the hana we're talking about. Then afilu yoshev nami should be mutar, even if he sits. What's the difference if he sits or stands? He's not benefiting the guy either which way. And even shenichse chole asurim al mevaker, if it's the flip, afilu omed nami lo. If the issue is that the visitor isn't allowed to benefit from the sick person, then what's the issue? We learned this before. Remember we talked about vitur? If somebody walks through your field, what did we say? We consider that, right? It's not something anyone, you don't generally pay to walk through someone's field, and therefore we're going to say that it's mutar, it's not hana'ah. But we talked about if you stay in someone's field, that's already benefiting from them. Everyone would agree with that. So now, what's the issue? He's staying in his house. Okay, now whether you take my daughter's interpretation of you, he's sitting on a chair, or he's, right, even just being in the airspace of the house, you're getting benefit from being inside someone's house. Okay? Or like Aviva, you said about enjoy, right? It's enjoyable, it's comfortable. Right? So even being in someone's house is comfortable from the outside, let's say. It's protecting you from the sun, from the rain, from whatever it might be. So now, or from the cold, or you know, anything. So therefore, we don't understand which one it is. It doesn't make any sense either which way, because basically what, in other words, the Gemara is saying is this partial, the distinction between Omed and Yoshev doesn't sit well with them. They don't really see the difference. Either you're getting benefit, and then it should all be allowed, it should all be Aser, or you're not getting benefit, and it should all be Mutar. So now we're going to see three different interpretations. So two are going to go with one side and break off into two, and one's going to go with the other side. They're going to explain the Mishnah in all different ways. Amar Shmuel, la'olam b'shenichse mevaker asurim ala chole. Okay, it's the chole who can't get benefit, the first interpretation we brought. U'bemakom shenotlim sachar ala yeshiva ve'ein notlim sachar ala amida. It's a place where people get paid to do the mitzvah of bikur cholim. It's a place where no one's visiting the sick. So they have a program where the sick person will pay someone to visit him because he wants visitors. So people get paid to visit the sick person. So now, but when do you get paid? You only get paid for yeshiva and not for amida. Okay? Because now it goes back to what we said in the beginning. Yeshiva is a more significant visit, whereas amida is not so significant. And then, what's the issue? How does it work now? This guy doesn't charge the chole. So now he's monetary benefiting him. Because if he doesn't charge the guy, then the guy is basically, now this is what we talked about before, about vitur, you know, if you're not taking money for something, right, that normally you would have to pay for, so that's a benefit. That's the benefit that he's getting. So, but with amida, he's not giving him any benefit because nobody pays for amida. So now they say, my paska, why would you distinguish between getting sachar for yeshiva and not sachar for amida? So hakamash malan da'af b'makom shenotlim sachar l'yeshiva by l'mishkal al amida. By l'mishkal al amida lo by l'mishkal. They're saying it's teaching you that even when people take money for visiting, people pay for people to visit them. It's only by yeshiva and not by amida. That's what the Mishnah is trying to teach you. Okay, that's one interpretation. So the interpretation is it's a place where they pay. And that's the benefit he's getting, and then he'd only get the benefit from the yeshiva, not from the amidah, because nobody pays for amidah. That's option number one. V'ibayit ema. Now, option number two is going to be within this framework of it's the chole who can't benefit from the mevaker. Kidei Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim. Gzera shema yishheba amidah. Hachanami gzera shema yishheba yeshiva. Okay, let's work backwards. The concern here is we're worried that maybe let's even add words that aren't mentioned here. The answer is that we're talking about a place where nobody pays for visiting the sick, but we're worried that if you were to overstay and stay a really long time, then maybe you would get sachar for that. Okay, so nobody pays for the base mitzvah of bikur cholim, whether it's standing or sitting, but we're worried if we let you sit, then you might sit way more time, and then it would be a case where you could demand payment for that. Okay, now what's this Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim? So he made a gzera in a particular case. Okay, it's going to be mentioned later in our perek about. Now it just eludes me for a second. I forgot what the case is. 1 second, let me just look it up. It was a different situation. And Ah, right. Okay. If you are forbidden to go into someone's field, okay, you're mudar likanes l'sadeh hamadir, okay, you're mudar hana'a from going into someone's field, even in a way, like even standing there, let's say you could just stand there, that would be okay, but we don't allow you to stand there because we're worried you might stay too long. All right, the issue is more complicated than this. Sorry, now I remember. It's, you go into a field during the Shemitah year. Let's say you're not allowed to come into my field, okay? I said, I don't want you ever coming into my field. And it's Shemitah like it is this year. And you want to come take my fruits. Now, my fruits don't belong to me. It's hefker. Not only do my fruits not belong to me, but my field doesn't belong to me because my field is hefker. Because why is my field hefker? Because how else could people come into my field to take my fruits if it's not hefker? However, my field isn't totally hefker. My field is hefker for the purposes of taking fruits. So this guy can come into my field to take fruits. However, my field is not hefker if you want to go hang out and, you know,
a picnic.
Right, I have a picnic in my field. That's not hefker. My field is only hefker for picking fruits. So if I say you can never go into my field, you're allowed to go to get hefker, but you're not allowed to go to otherwise. So that's the issue there. What did he say? You're not allowed to go because maybe you'll end up staying there too long, right? And then getting benefit from his field, not for the purposes that you came just to pick. So therefore, we're going to apply the same thing here. Maybe you'll go be yeshiva, but you'll stay too long. Regular yeshiva, you don't get sachar for. But a longer yeshiva, you could get sachar for. Okay, so two interpretations within that the chola is getting benefit. Either it's a place where people take money for it, but they only obviously take money for yeshiva, not amidah. Or it's in a place where they don't take money, but we're worried that you might overstay, and then you could, in theory, take money, and then by not taking money, you're actually benefiting the guy. Ula amar, now we're going to have the flip. Le'olam b'shenichseh chole asurim al hamevaker. The sick person's money is forbidden to the visitor. Okay, meaning the visitor can't get benefit from him. Ukigon de lo adre min chiyute. What does this mean? Now, why is he allowed to go be yeshiva? Because when the sick person said, I don't want you to benefit me, I don't want you to get any benefit from me, what did he didn't mean in a case where it would actually benefit the life of the sick person? Okay? That's de lo adre, lo hidir oto. He didn't make the neder against him. Min chiyute, from his life, from his sustenance. So now, if he needs the guy to come into his house to visit him, well, then obviously he didn't include that part in the neder. Okay? So, now what are you going to say? Ihachi afilu yoshev nami. Right? In other words, if that's the case, then it should be mutar even for the guy to come sit in his house. Because why should, right? Again, why is that distinction between sitting and standing? If he wants the guy to visit him, and that wasn't part of what he included in the neder from the first place, then he wants the guy to benefit him, whether he's sitting or standing. So what do they answer? Ha efshar ba'amida. Since he could visit him ba'amida, that would be enough. So in other words, he wants him to help sustain him, you know, to help him stay alive. So he wants him to come visit. So that part wasn't included in the neder. But since he can sustain him and keep him alive by just visiting and standing, that's all the guy's allowed to do. He can't do any more than that, because if he sits, then he's already past that. Okay, now we're going to have a question on this. Meitibe. Chalahu nichnas levakro. Chalah beno sho'alo b'shuk. If a guy is mudar hana'a from someone, so if the guy himself gets sick, again, if the visitor is mudar hana'a, okay, can't get benefit from the sick person. So if the guy himself gets sick, then you can come to visit him. Why? Because what did we say? Because the guy obviously didn't mean, when he said you can't get benefit from me, right? He didn't mean chiyute. But only, what did he not include? Only his own sustenance. This is a really strange thing, actually. B'chala b'no, but if his son gets sick, he obviously wasn't, now the question is, right, wouldn't you think his son all the more so? Like you care about your kids sometimes more than you care about yourselves? But I think what the issue is here is when he made the Lashon of the Neder, what did he think in his mind? You can't ever benefit from me unless I really need it. But for me, he was thinking. He wasn't thinking about all 100 other possibilities. My children, my this, my that, right? So he kind of excluded that one case of him being sick, but not the case of his son. So therefore, if his son gets sick, then Shoalo Bashuk. Here's an interesting thing, by the way. What do you learn here? That just asking how is somebody feeling is almost like a part of Bikur Cholim, or that is significant, right? You think about whenever something's going on and not everybody comes to visit, but they do ask about you and check, and that's a significant thing mentioned here. Okay, so that's what you could do, Shoalo Bashuk, but you can't go into his house because then he'd be benefiting from you. He'd be benefiting you. So, why is this a question? Right? This braita makes sense according to Ula's interpretation, because why? It's the case of, right, we have the whole question, who's nechasim or asur to who? Now, the base assumption of the Gemara right now is that whatever the Mishnah is talking about is the same as what the braita is talking about. In other words, if the braita is in that particular case, which was obvious which case the braita was talking about, because otherwise it doesn't make sense, it's the only way you can explain the braita, so then the Mishnah should be the same. So therefore, it only seems to work to Ula. Okay? So Bishlama Ula Damar Bishinich Sechol Esrim Alam Abakir Ukigon Delo Adra Min Chiyuta. Then Shapir, then it works. Ela l'Shmuel da Amar b'shenichsei mevaker asurim ala chole, maishna hu, maishna b'neu. Right? If it's that the visitor can't benefit the chole, he can't give anything to the chole, what's the difference if it's him and what's the difference if it's his son? Should make no difference. So Amar lach, the answer is, matnitim b'shenichsei mevaker asurim ala chole, and brayta b'shenichsei chole asurim ala mevaker. In other words, don't assume that the brayta and the Mishnah are all the same case. One is in one case and one is in the other case. Lo mashana. So now they say, well, my paska. So why would it be that the Mishnah is particularly in a different case than the brayta? So Amarava, Shmuel, Matnitin Kishite. My iria detani omed, avalo yoshev. Shmamina, denichse mevaker, asurim alachole. What possessed Shmuel not to explain the Mishnah the same way as the brayta is? And the answer is that the Mishnah was difficult to him. He couldn't understand the Mishnah distinguishing between Omed and Yoshev. And therefore he said it must be that it's the opposite case. Because in the case of Notzlim Sachar, he could see a difference between Yeshiva and Amidah. But in the case of the Mivaker benefiting from the Choleh, he couldn't really understand the distinction between the Omed and Yoshev. And that's what possessed him to do it. Okay? Now we're done with this sugya. So we have three different interpretations. Remember, either the Choleh can't get benefit from the visitor, and then either it's the issue that they pay money, and that's why, and he doesn't charge him money, and that's the benefit, and only pay money for yeshiva, or they don't pay money, but we're worried maybe he'll stay too long, and then he'll come to a situation where in theory he could charge him money, or it's the flip case where it's the visitor can't benefit from the sick person, right? And then the issue is that he obviously didn't lo adra min chiyute. Right, and then again, this is why Shmuel thought it was difficult. It's still not so clear why there'd be a distinction between Amidah and Yeshiva. But the Gemara explained it that since you can be Yotzei ba'Amidah and already give the guy Chayim, so then we're not going to allow you to actually sit because that's more benefit. Although it's a bit of a weakness in that interpretation. Okay, now we're going to get into a whole slew, which is going to go for a few dapim, of statements about Bikur Cholim, and then obviously, like in most situations, we're going to get off on tangents. Amarish Lakish, remez le bikur cholim in atara minayin. Okay, where do we learn a remez for bikur cholim in atara? Shenemar, im kimot kol ha'adam yimutun ele, upkudat kol adam. It's really important to read the rest of the pasuk. Okay, you can either open a Tanakh if you want. It might pay for now to open a Tanakh to Bamidbar Tet Zayin. Okay, this is in Korach. Okay, because we're going to darsh in this pasuk and the next pasuk. Okay, so if you look in Korach, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Kaf Tet. Okay, we're going to see Kaf Tet and Lamed. So when Moshe is going to have a showdown with them, okay, what in essence we're having is a showdown here. In fact, we read the parsha a few weeks ago. My son suggested that why didn't we have the Haftorah of Eliyahu at Har Carmel? It would have been perfect because it's also a big showdown. Who's right? Who's got God on his side? So that's what it really sounds like here. If you look in Kaf Tet, it says, so Moshe says, let's even go to Kaf Chet. Vayomer Moshe, bizot teidun ki Hashem shlachani. Right? This is going to be your sign that God sent me. La'asot et kol ha'maasim ha'ele, ki lo mi libi. I didn't make this up, right? God sent me to do everything. What's the sign? Im kimot kol ha'adam yimutun ele. If like every other person dies, these guys are going to die. In other words, they die in a natural manner. Now what's the natural manner? Here we go. Upkudat kol ha'adam yipaker alehem. How do they interpret this? That if they get sick and people come to visit them. Upkudat kol ha'adam yipaker means that people come to visit them. Okay, so normal people, what happens? They get sick and people come visit them and then they die. So if the Korach and Adato and all of them die in a normal way where they get sick and people come visit them and then they die, then you'll know that lo Hashem shlachani. These guys aren't going to die in the normal way. Or if they do, right, it'll be clear it wasn't God. Ve'im bri'a yivra Hashem. And if God creates some creation, now this pasuk is going to cause them a lot of anguish. What does this mean? Okay, the first problem with this pasuk is, I'm already jumping a little bit, but the first problem with this pasuk they're going to say is, Bri'ah sounds like something that was already created, and Yivrah sounds like something that will be created. So how could you say it was already created and it will be created? Okay, so Im Bri'ah Yivrah Hashem, if God will create something new, and I think what's really bothering the Mefarshim here is, why does Moshe have to couch this as in some brand new creation that didn't exist until now? What's going on here? Upatstaha adamat piha ubala, and then the ground will open up its mouth and swallow them up. Ubala utam, ve'et kol asher lahem, v'yardu chayim sha'ola. Okay, so it's going to swallow them up and everything that they have, and they're going to go chayim sha'ola, right? They're going to go down to the depths of the abyss, which generally we consider to be Gehenom, which we're going to see all this in our Gemara about Gehenom. And then, v'yedatem ki niyatsu anashim ha'ele et Hashem. Right? Then you'll know that these people got up God's anger. Okay. So there's a bunch of strange things about this pasuk, right? Why there has to be a briah. It's a new creation. Now, if you say maybe opening up the earth and swallowing people is a new creation, so there's a bit of a problem. Because in Kain, where it talks about Kain, in Perek Dalet of Breshit, in pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Vayomer ma'asita, kol d'mei achicha tzoakim elai min ha'adama. Remember this? Right? The voice of your brother calling out to me from the ground. Va'ata aror ata min ha'adama asher patzta et pia. Okay? That the ground opened up its mouth. So you see the ground opens up its mouth. So what's exactly going on here? Okay? And not only that, right? I saw some refreshment to talk about that. In general, right, the ground cracks many times. It's very common, and it happened surely before this story. But they say that the unique thing that happened here was that, yes, it cracked, but then it swallowed up. Usually when it cracks, it stays open. And here it cracked and then closed up over the people. So that generally doesn't happen, right? That was a unique thing. Anyway, there's a lot of struggles among the Mefarshim. I definitely opened up the Torah Chaim and tried to look at, you know, different Mefarshim that talk about this to see what exactly was bothering everybody from this pasuk. Because you see from Mark and Mara that they're immediately bothered by this pasuk. Another possibility about what they were bothered was that Moshe's saying this all on his own. God didn't tell him to say all this. How does he know God's going to open up and swallow, right? God, wait, what is, let me just see, right? Does God say, right, Hashem doesn't say he's going to open the ground and swallow it up. So, like, where did Moshe come up with this, really? You know, where, and how do we know that God agreed with him about it? And that, you know, at this point anyway, right? Obviously, we see that God does because he does it. But it's interesting psukim. So the first thing we get from here is that there's bikur cholim in Torah, because it says, "Ikumot kol adam yitun uptach kol adam yipaket." So then everybody comes to visit. So my mashma, how do you learn it from the pasuk? Amarava. Im kimot kol adam yimutun ele shehem cholim umutalim ba'arisatan ubnei adam bevakrinotan. Right? So if they die like everyone else, that they get sick and they're stuck in their beds and people come visit them, mahabriot omrim, what will everybody say? Lo Hashem shlochani lezeh, right? Then everybody will say, clearly God didn't do this. This is just a normal way of dying. Okay, so now darash Rava. So now Rava's going to darash in this next pasuk about the bria. Im bria yivra Hashem. Im bria gehenom mutav, mutav tia. So now, again, the assumption of the problem here in the pasuk, according to Rava, is that bria seems to be something that was already created, and yivra seems to be something that will be created. So this is what Moshe says. If Gehenom is already created, then mutav tiye. Then that'll be great. These guys will go to Gehinnom. V'im lav, yivra Hashem. And if not, God will now create Gehinnom for these people. Which makes it sound like what? Like this is the first big sin that people are going to be punished for, which we know is not the case, right? Very strange. So the Gemara says, Ini, how could it be that Gehinnom wasn't created? V'hatanya, by the way, this is all, I think you have to look at this a little bit in the for years and centuries in every religion, everybody struggles with what is Gehinnom exactly, right? So this is part of that discussion in Judaism about what is Gehinnom, when was it created, where does it come from, and, you know, what it's all about. So, Imbria, so now they say, V'hatanya, don't we know, and from a bright, Shiv'ad dvarim nivru'u kodem shenivra ha'olam. There were seven things created before the world was created. So when the world was created, these things already were in existence. Eluhen, Torah, u'tshuva, gan eden v'gehenom, kitzei ha'kavod u'beit ha'mikdash, u'shmo shel Mashiach. Okay? These seven things were already in existence. Okay, what this means, right? Were they actually in existence? Probably not, right? The point is that these are things that are so besisi to the world, they don't, you know, either you say they don't need creating or they, you know, it's how you view it, or just these are seven things that are so basic and inherent, and that's what they're trying to tell you. So, now we're going to go through the list and how we know that these things all existed before Briat HaOlam. Torah, Dichtiv, okay, a pasuk from Mishle, Hashem kanani reshit darko. Okay, this means, right, Hashem acquired me from the very beginning. The end of that pasuk is kedem mifalav me'az. Okay, it's from before, from the very beginning, this was already there. And the Mefarshim say that the pasukim there from the context is talking about the Torah. Now I looked, it's not 100% clear that it talks about the Torah there, but obviously they assume that the references sounds like it means the Torah. So the Torah was already from the beginning. Tshuva, dichtiv, baterem harim yuladu. Okay, if you look in the side, you'll see the whole pasuk from Tehilim Tzadi. Baterem harim yuladu, vatecholel eretz v'tevel, umeolam va'arolam ata'el. And the next pasuk is, tashev enosh adaka, vatomer shuvu b'nei adam. Okay, so it says, before the hills were created, right, I established the earth. And then it says, and people should return to God, right? Tashev enosh adaka, and then it should say, Shuvu Banim, Shuvu Bnei Adam. So they're saying from here, they connect between, oh, it happened before the Harim were there, and then it talks about Tshuva. So Tshuva must have also been there before. Gan Eden. Dichtiva Yita Hashem Elohim Gan Be'eden Mikedem. Mikedem is always from before. Gehenom. Dichtiv Ki Aruch, Aruch Me Etmol Tofte. How is it pronounced? Tofte. Okay? So it's actually aruch me etmul, lo me etmol, tofte. Okay, so now there's a different, tofte means, how do they interpret it there? What's the word they use?
Tofte has been prepared since yesterday.
Oh, they just call it tofte, okay. In the Quran, they actually had an explanation. Oh, it's the hearth. The hearth, right. So they claim it's a, no, the Quran, I remember, they called it a hearth. That's the literal interpretation of tofte is a hearth.
Hearth?
Hearth.
Here it says it comes from to be seduced.
Right, yafeh, from Mifuteh. That makes more sense. Right. Right, so the main point is that Tofteh, especially if you take the Lashon of seduce, is a perfect name for Gehenom. Yeah. So Gehenom was already Me'etmol. Now, what's Me'etmol? So some of the Mefarshim say it's right from yesterday. But what day only had a yesterday, right? And didn't have a Shilshom, 2 days before. So they say that was the first day. You know, it had to be before the first day. Because once it was the second, no, or before the second day, because then something like that. Anyway, the point is, Me'etmol is another lashon, just like Beterem Harim, right? From before, from before, from before. All these words say from before, so it was already there. Kisei kavod dichtiv, nachon kisacha me'az, another lashon, right? From then. It's already been sitting there from then. Beit HaMikdash dichtiv, kisei kavod marom merishon. Okay, this pasuk is, here, you have to read the end of it. It's funny. It's always funny when they quote psukim and they say v'chule. Often, we saw this, this is the second time on this day, they cut off the important part. Kisei kavod marom merishon mekom mikdashenu. Okay, marom merishon mekom mikdashenu. In other words, our mikdash is marom merishon. Right? It's from, it's been great from before the from the beginning, from the first day. Shmo shel Mashiach dichtiv yihi shmo le'olam. Lifnei Shemesh Yinon Shmo. Okay, so here again, they skip the important part, right? Yehi shmo le'olam, it wouldn't be clear who it is, but then they say lifnei shemesh yinon shmo, and it's known that yinon is supposed to be a name of the Mashiach. I've never heard that before, but supposedly. Okay, so now you see again that, you know, yehi shmo le'olam, it should be forever, meaning it's been there from forever. So now we're left with, if you remember what we were up to, what was our question? How could Gehenom, how could Moshe have said if Gehenom was created? It was obvious Gehenom was created. Elahachi kamar. I ivri lepuma mutav. Vim lo yivra Hashem. If there's a peh, what does it mean a peh? A place like a mouth to get from earth to Gehenom. Is there like a channel to get there? Right? So if there's an opening to get through to Gehenom, then great, then they'll go through there. And if not, God should create one. Okay, so now Gemara is going to say, wait a minute. Doesn't it say, Ein kol chadash tachat ha-shemesh? It's obviously there exists a peh to get there. In other words, there's nothing new in the world. God doesn't ever create anything new. Everything is just, right, what goes around comes around. It obviously was there. So again, how come Moshe be saying this should be created? So hachi kamar. So now they get to their conclusion. It must mean, I hacha lo mekarev puma lahachi li karev. Yes, we know there's some opening somewhere to get to Gehenom, but it might not have been right there. So his point was, if there's an opening right here, then great. Open it up and swallow them up. And if not, create an opening here to get to Gehenom. Okay, so meaning, openings existed, just not necessarily right here. Okay, I don't know what to make of all this exactly. And, you know, again, it could be their way of trying to understand what Gehenom is. It could be their way of trying to understand what Moshe is doing here and what's he asking God for exactly. Is he asking, part of what we went through this mahalach is, either he's asking God to create Gehenom, which is like a huge chidush, right? Till they narrow it down to basically just saying, oh, can you just create an opening right here so that they can get there from right here? You know, obviously also, why did he want it to be right there? Because he wanted everyone to see. He wanted it to be right there. He didn't want them to die. I mean, you can see this from the psukim. He didn't want them to die in some way that wouldn't be a big, that's why I like the comparison to Har Carmel. He wanted it to be a big, open viewing for everybody. So that's basically, and then you can see also, why was he asking God to do something for him? And then God should have decided how they're going to sin. But Moshe said, what I want is I want everyone to see so that they know that God sent me and that I haven't made this up. And that was really relating to what Korach had said. Korach was trying to undermine his authority, and he said, in order to keep my authority, everybody needs to see this. It needs to be out in the open. So it could be that that's what Moshe was asking from God. Okay, now we're going to continue on other drashot of Rava having to do with some psukim we quoted. Darash Rava ba'amrele amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Some people say Rabbi Yitzchak said this. Mai dechtiv shemesh yareach amad zvula. Okay, now what's zvul? Zvul is one of the levels of the rakia, of the skies. There's rakia, which is the lowest level, and then there's altogether seven levels, and zvul is one of the higher ones. I'm not sure which level it is. But here, so what does it say? Shemesh yareach amad zvula. So what's the drasha here? Shemesh v'yareach bizvul. And what's the shemesh and the yareach doing in zvul? Shemesh v'yareach are in the rakia, which is the lower heavens, not in the upper levels. Shemesh v'yareach bizvul, my bayan. And what are they doing there? The habarakia kviyeh. They belong in the rakia. Melamed sha'alu shemesh v'yareach mirakia lizvul. Okay, they went up to try to get closer to God. V'amru lefanav. Okay, this sounds very much like Greek mythology, right? The sun and the moon, and right? We saw some references to Greek mythology otherwise, right? But they go to talk to God, and they're part of the godly world, and there's a discussion, and there's things going on. You'll see even more so. There's going to be arrows being shot and things like that. Amru lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, im ata oseh din leben Amram, anu me'irim. V'im lav, ein anu me'irim. Now, this is fascinating. This again goes back to trying to understand why Moshe, now we're relating to the issue that Moshe said this, and we don't know, is God going to listen to him or not, right? God never told him to do this. Hashem doesn't say, I'm going to swallow them up. Moshe makes this up. So now the question is going to be, what's the reaction? So according to this midrash, God wasn't so anxious to do what Moshe said. And the sun and the moon go up to God and say, hey,
we're going to go on
strike. Right. We're going to go on strike. Exactly. Okay? We're going to go on strike, and we're not going to shine if you don't do this. So, what's God's reaction? Very interesting. Bo'ta sha'a yara behem chitzim bechanitot. Okay? Arrows and swords he shot at them. Amar lahem, that's basically, why did he shoot them? To push them out, to go shine. Think about it, if they go from the rakia up to the zvul, they're no longer seen. So we push them out of the zvul, down to the rakia, so everyone can see them. Amar lahem, b'chol yom v'yom, mishtachavim lachem, v'atem mirim, b'chvodi lo machitem, b'chvod basar v'adam machitem. What does he say? Every day people pray to you. They think that you're the God. They think the sun's the God. They think the moon's the God. And yet you continue to shine despite the fact that it's a pgi'ah b'chvodi, right? You're not worried. You've never been worried about my kavod. All of a sudden you're so worried about Moshe's kavod, right? Really interesting. Okay? And then what happens now? So now they feel bad and they don't want to go back out. Right? They say, oh my God, we're never going to shine again. Look how angry we got God, and look, we didn't realize. Right? We didn't realize how much we're taking away from God. So what happened? Now, ubechol yom vayom, yorim behem chitzim v'chanitot u'meirim. Now God has to every day shoot, force them to go out and shine. Okay? He was trying to make a point, but he went too far, right? And then they took it too seriously, and then he has to go, now, mirim shenemar, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, okay, now look at the whole pasuk. Shemesh yareach amad zvula, le'or chitzecha yahalechu, le'noga brak chanitecha. That's how they understand the pasuk. They go le'or chitzecha, from the arrows, and to the shine of the sword, they shine from the reflection or the shine of the sword, basically. So now they're saying, what do the sword and the arrows have to do with the sun shining and the moon shining? Oh, it's because those are what's forcing them to shine. Were it not for that, they wouldn't be shining. Very interesting. Again, what you make of it, you know, it definitely sounds very much like Greek mythology. And why are the sun, you know, like those stories, why did the sun and moon shine? Like, how did it get to be that way? This is almost like, you know, how it got to be, that they weren't going to. God was going to, you know. Anyway, how they also connect this with Moshe is very interesting, right? Why they bring this up in the context of the... By the way, the Mefarshim claim that... this is from Habakkuk, this pasuk. And that the pasukim around there, there's references there. The Mefarshim claim there's references to Korach, of the whole pasukim around that parak. So that's why they try to connect it here to the Korach story. Tanya. Now we're going to get back to Bikur Cholim. Okay, that was all an aside, because we brought up the Bikur Cholim we learned from Korach. From there, we got into all this other stuff about Korach and Briat HaOlam having nothing to do, l'chora, with Bikur Cholim. Although, if someone wants to come up with a connection, maybe there is one. I don't know. Maybe also, it's talking about Gehen Adom and death, and, you know, but I don't know. Seems not so much connected. Tanya. Bikur Cholim ain la shi'ur. Okay, there's no shi'ur to Bikur Cholim. Now the Gemara wants to understand, what does it mean, ein la shi'ur? My ein la shi'ur. Sever of Yosef lemeimar, ein shi'ur lematan tzchara. There's no set amount for how much reward you get for doing Bikur Cholim. Okay, which I guess could mean that, right, it's unclear what it means, it doesn't have a shi'ur, but it could mean different people could get different, you know, depending on how you do it. There's different ways to do it, and therefore you can get different levels of sechar, which you could definitely see, right? You can go in and visit someone for a minute. You can go stay for an hour, just like we said before. If you stay longer, maybe you should get paid. Here we're talking about sechar mitzvah. But now, Amar Le Abaye, v'chi mitzvah, yesh la shi'or lematan secharan. In general, is there a shi'or for how much, is there, you know, a book with values? Okay, you do this mitzvah, you get that value. You do this mitzvah, you get that value. And we never talk about shi'ur when it comes to matan tzchara and mitzvot, because I would say it like this. Even if there is, we don't know what it is. So what's the difference whether you say there is or there isn't? We don't know. And how do you know we don't know? V'hatnan, heveza hirba, mitzvah kala kebachamura, she'en atayodeh, matan tzchara and shal mitzvot. Right? You should always take even the light mitzvah seriously, because you have no idea what tzchara mitzvah is, what God gives. So El Amar Abaye, so what's the Ein La Sechar, Ein La Shi'ur, Afilu Gadol Eitzel Katan. That even there's certain mitzvot, for example, Hashavat Aveda is a good example, where if it's not Lefi Chvodcha to go pick up a sheep in the middle of the street and carry it home and try to find its owner, if you're like an important person, then you don't have to do it. But when it comes to Bikur Cholim, even a Gadol should go visit a Katan. Even here, I don't think they mean Gadol Katan in age. They mean a Gadol of importance should even go to visit someone less important. Rava Amar, afilu mea pamim biyom. There's no shiur to how much you can do the mitzvah. You can go visit a person 100 times a day. That would still be valuable. Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Kol ha-mevaker chole notel echad mishishim b'tzaro. Okay, this, I'm sure you've heard this before, right? If you visit a sick person, you take away 1/60th of his chole. So now the Gemara is going to say a great question. Amrele, so what did they say to him when he said this? The student said to him, Imken, li'ailun shitim v'lukmo. We should just get 60 guys to come, and then the guy will be all better. Okay? Which obviously, I don't think that's what they really, right? I don't think they were saying, oh, let's do that. I think they were saying there's a problem with what you're saying, because if it takes away 1/60th, then 60 people should be able to cure a person. And that's not the case. So Amrele, Kisurayata debe rebi ube ben gilo. Okay, what does that mean? It means that if you go, you take away 1/60th. What's left? 59, right? The next person takes away 1/60th of the 59. And the next person takes away 1/60th of what's left after that.
So you never actually
it works,
get there.
Right. So you never actually get there. And they say, ube ben gilo. Now here's a very strange thing. It's unclear. There's many different interpretations how to understand this. It also only works if you're ben gilo. Now, what does ben gilo mean? Some people explain it literally. You're the same age, mm-hmm. same age range, same generation. It could be same respect level, same. There's even more interpretations of different. I don't remember now. One second. Right, some people say it's like age range, you know, young visiting the young, old visiting the old. That's what it was. The Ran quotes the Aruch. The Aruch is like a very early source. I think it's from 1000, from the year 1000, like from the 11th century. And it's a dictionary, basically, an Aramaic dictionary. But because it's a dictionary, it explains all sorts of things and explains, you know, like it's also a Perush. So he claims that it means you're born in the same constellation. Okay, going back to, right, whether we believe in constellations or don't, right? Here, clearly, believed in constellations, and that it's it means if you're born in the same constellation.
They give that here interesting. As a primary interpretation.
What?
They give that here as a primary
right,
interpretation.
Right, right. And then there's also someone says it's a soulmate. Yeah. There's the Meiri explains, one whom the old person is glad to see and whose visit he enjoys. Okay, so you can see it means all sorts of things. You can see why people wouldn't interpret it as just age range, because it doesn't make so much sense. Like, why would that have an effect on the person more than anything else? So that's why maybe constellation will work. You know, because why? Because how could someone take away 1/60th of a disease? It must be there's something in the stars, you know. Or the Meiri actually makes a lot of sense, which is if you make the person happy, if it's someone who means something to the person, right? But again, those all struggle with the words uben gilo. It doesn't really match. Okay, so now they're going to say, what's this Isurayata de Bein Rebbe? Rebbe said this in a totally different context, which those of you who learned Ketubot will remember this. Titania, Rebbe Omer, Bat Hanizonet Minechse Echav, Notelet Isur Nechasim. Remember that? If the father dies and he leaves over an inheritance and the daughter wants to get married, so she gets a tenth of what's left for her dowry. So Amrulo the Rebbe, Lidverecha, Mishayesh Lo Eser Banot Ubein, if you have 10 daughters and one son, well, the son's not going to get anything because they're each going to take a tenth. You can see where this is going now, right? They're each going to take a tenth. And then the son will be left with no inheritance. So Amar Lahem, Rishona Notelet Yisur Nechasim. Shnia B'Masha Shira, Shlishi B'Masha Shira, B'Chosro B'Chol Kol B'Shaveh. Do you remember this? They each split up, and they each get a tenth of what's left, a tenth of what's left, a tenth of what's left, so that the son's left with something. And in the end, they go back, and they all split it equally. In other words, it's not that the first one benefits that she gets more, okay? But if I remember correctly, in the end, they say that's only their chalkot b'shaveh b'shaveh if they, right, and now I see, Rashi says it. If the chalkot b'shaveh b'shaveh, it's only if they all get married at the same time. And then you just have to go through the list, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You all get your money, and then, okay, split it evenly. But if they get married one after the other, not at the same time, then the first one's going to get a bigger portion, minastan, because there's more money at that point. So, anyway, you see the same thing, of a tenth from a tenth from a tenth from a tenth. Okay, so for today, we'll see more on Kor Cholim tomorrow.